Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
So what we're going to talk about briefly is our evidence-based strategy for marketing and public relations. Earlier point I've made was thought was a good one. We're spending public money. We won't want to spend public money without the evidence to back up our decisions. And that also helps what we do when we're discussing our strategies in senior leadership team meetings and so forth. So we're going to talk about our journey over the last 3.5 years. What we do is, it's an annual market research study, and these are the stakeholders. Enrolling students, notice no parents on there, but that group is very much covered in the residence, although in hindsight I wish I'd have done a special cohort of parents for this study. We have year 11 pupils, so we go into school. Members of the public, so people with no ties to the college at all, but in our locality, as you'll see in a moment. Careers advisors, obviously always seen these as our key influencer in school. When people come to an open day, about 3/4 of them come to the open day because of have been told to come by a careers advisor. So our other marketing tactics, which we spend significant amounts of money and time on, don't have the impact as that 15 minutes that the student spends with a careers advisor. And then finally, employers. So we commit £20,000 non-pay budget year after year, relentlessly, to test and to analyse what our marketing and PR strategy is delivering. So this is the methodology, this is how. So at enrolment, we have an iPad survey. This is all delivered by an external company. I think it gives the results much more credibility than if we were doing it in-house. So we have a big sample of those people, 2,500. School focus groups, small groups, in total 100 year 11 pupils. The street survey in 4 different locations. West Yorkshire, it's a very diverse area. We have very segmented communities and we want to make sure each of those is heard. Careers advisors, we get 25 of them in a room, usually bribed with lunch. And an employer online survey, and then follow-up telephone to get deeper analysis, and there's 100 in that particular study. So what's significant for us is how we embed this into strategic planning. What we're going to cover is very much along the marketing and PR issues, but the research covers a range of aspects that make up reputation. So this includes location, course type, the estate, the fees that we charge, and the quality of the teaching. And we disseminate all that to the senior leadership team. As far as the issues that are specific to marketing and PR department, we have a team away day usually around October. I amend the quality improvement plan and create an action plan based on the research. We then self-assess that, and we have then trend analysis year on year. That's the advantage of having the surveys and the research taking place annually, and that gives us our 3-year cycle. So just a few examples of what we've learnt from the research and how we've responded. So an interesting thing was when I joined 3.5 years ago, only 32% of residents could recognise the college logo from a variety of 6. In fact, it was the problems were more were deeper even than the logo recognition, because more people searched for the former names of the college prior to a 2008 merger than the new college on Google. So we had an issue that we not only didn't have a reputation, if you like, because nobody actually knew who the college was or where it was based. So we, in contrast to Scott, who was commenting earlier, we did do some significant things to address that. So we sponsored Huddersfield Town Football Club, including the logo on the home shirt. That package also included things like work placements for students, included dedicated games with student involvement, so we had our dance teams on the pitch, reward and recognition, so we had a box where some of the best students went to, also supporting staff. We sponsored the employer forum, so 100 big local employers meet on a monthly basis. We sponsored that and delivered talks. And we also had free use of the stadium facilities. Also, high-profile campaigning, deliberately high-profile in the first 2 years. So we sponsored community events such as Pink Picnic, Caribbean Carnival, Food and Drink Festival, and we did do some significant outdoor. We had an integrated campaign. So what the idea of this was, you see the guy on the left, he's obviously a chef. The idea is to combine successful alumni with the football theme. So he's a successful alumni, obviously, in a football setting. What I actually wanted to put on this, because we're an exclusively vocational college, I wanted to put A-levels nil, vocational one, as one of the key messages. We didn't do that, but you get the idea that what we're trying to promote. So 3 years on, brand recognition is at 82%, and Google searches for pre-merger college names is down 80%. On to example two, just an interesting one. The research obviously gave us negatives, it also gave us positives to build on. You see, 33% of enrolling students has visited the college Facebook page prior to enrolment. This is interestingly compares to 28% of enrolling students that actually read the college prospectus. So that was a significant issue for us because we hadn't spent money or a significant amount of time on Facebook. So I introduced targets linked to Facebook interactions and likes. We have Facebook advertising now to support growth, which is extremely cost effective. And it's this blend of what we call information and inspiration. So we try and have competitions, but also Q&A sessions, like web chat and that kind of thing. There's our Facebook page. We're over 4,000 now, aren't we? But we see things like the like us and win, so you win an iPad, and the fan of the week. We have a weekly photograph of the fan on there, and you know that obviously helps us to attract more people to the page on a more frequent basis. Over to Faye.
Yeah, so the third example is another negative one. We interviewed the careers advisors, as Michael said, one of our key influencers, and that was reflected in the CIPR Education and Skills Group recent research as well. The biggest influencer next to someone that the young person knows, so a parent, a friend, and we interviewed them on six aspects: customer care, overall experience, on-site experience and access to help on-site, and then information and communication. And these are the two elements that scored particularly low. So we addressed this by taking a personal approach. We nominated the head of department to handle escalated complaints and issues. And I don't know, it could have been because of the fragmentation of the college. We'd just gone through a merger. Complaints were going through to unanswered phones or the wrong department, but this made sure that they were handled by the same person, and that personal relationship with the careers advisors was built up. We overhauled our course information on the website and in our prospectus, and we introduced the personalised online prospectus, meaning we can update information partway through the year. So they're not getting that inaccurate information, it's always current. And you can order one for yourselves on our website, and that will be delivered to your house. And as a result of that, the college scored higher for its quality of information and overall communication. So the next step we took was lifestyle, introducing lifestyle data. We wanted to understand our students, the type of people they are, and step away from stereotypes. So we introduced the 8 Doors online profiling tool. We asked them about their behaviours, their personalities, how they spend their time, so we could really target course recommendation and who we were marketing to. We used this in the prospectus, introducing real students that applicants can relate to. And these students actually go out into schools with our student recruitment team and talk at schools, so they're like from the prospectus to school, people they can look up to. We've also used this in our social media, what we talk about on our Facebook and Twitter, and what we talk about in our student magazine.
Lisa, so just extremely briefly, we're not here to promote our tactics, but this is our strategy, if you like. A relentless annual study that generates strategic change, action plans result, and then we test success, and that's how we approach our marketing. My personal email if you need to contact me with any further questions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.